Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Wednesday, February 17, 2021. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olink, working from my home studio in New York on my birthday. Taylor, it's my birthday. I'm 57 years old today.
Wow, happy birthday, Buster. You waited to drop that until we actually started recording. Could have let off with that. Jeesh. Any plans for today?
I'm sorry. Well, yeah. See, you grow up on a farm, and that's the phrase my kids hate, back on the farm. But when you grew up on the farm, there was only one set of barn chores that you didn't have to do, and that was on Christmas morning. Besides that, it was like Groundhog Day. Every day, you were out in the barn twice a day, in the morning and night. So, you know, birthdays, working on the birthday, that's kind of standard operating procedure. Normally, I'd be down in spring training.
Right, of course. Maybe a good dinner on tap for tonight. Maybe some good takeout, or maybe your son will whip you something up. No?
No, I'll hang out with them. Okay. You know, probably. And at some point, you got to get ready for another snowstorm because we are not down in spring training. But we are getting ready on Friday to start the daily podcast for the Baseball Tonight podcast. And a really special guest on Friday, Taylor, you arranged it.
We are going to have Dr. Anthony Fauci from the CDC to talk baseball. Going to talk about that meeting at the White House that the Players Association had a couple weeks ago, what it could mean to have fans back in the stands, when we might actually see that. I mean, it's this is a big get. We're very excited. We were going to start going daily on Monday, but we grabbed him on Friday. So this will be the official start to the season. You'll have all weekend to consume and chew on that interview, and then we're back in the saddle come Monday. Very exciting stuff here on the Baseball Tonight podcast, Buster.
Yeah, most spring trainings usually go for like the biggest free agent signing. You know, like it would be really big to get a George Springer or, you know, Francisco Lindor traded to the Mets. But in 2021, in our current context, with the players starting spring training at a time when, you know, there are people on both sides who actually feel like they should wait a few weeks, Dr. Fauci is someone who would be great to talk to. Plus, I want to dive into his obvious passion for baseball and how good he thinks his Nationals are going to do this year. Some news and notes as we get started. This is kind of going to be a mini podcast today, not a full-blown one. It's like in spring training when you get the, you know, the two-inning side session. That's kind of going to be what today is about. We're going to be talking with David Schoenfield and Paul Imbakides. News and notes, Trevor Bauer spoke with reporters a couple days ago after signing that deal with the Dodgers. The Dodgers' landmark agreement with Bauer has been met with clear reservation and in some instances disdain by some of the team's fans. Although their concerns aren't about his projected on-field performance, Bauer's boundless social media activity includes instances that have prompted accusations of online bullying, two of which involve women who became subject to harassment by Bauer's followers. Bauer, after signing that three-year, $102 million deal with opt-outs throughout, said last Thursday that he is evolving.
Everyone makes mistakes in the past. I try to learn from them. I try to learn as quickly as I possibly can. Try to understand other people's viewpoints on things and be better in the future. I think if you look at that, my history as a baseball player, my history on social media, my history as a person, for those who know me well, they'll see that I apply that process to everything that I do. I'm committed to doing that moving forward as well. And ultimately, I'm here to be a positive impact on anyone that I can be, both in the community, in the clubhouse, on the field, at the stadium, whatever the case is. So I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to win with this group. I'm excited to interact with the Dodger fans and the community of LA. I grew up here. I've been a long time. I spent 20 years here before I, you know, signed professionally. My parents are still here. I'm a member of the community. I still consider myself a member of the community, and I look forward to having a positive impact on the community.
The Red Sox traded outfielder Andrew Benintendi to the Kansas City Royals. Kansas City clearly trying to make a push to win more games in 2021. This is part of a three-team trade. The Red Sox got three players to be named, and the logic behind that is because there wasn't a lot of ability to scout in 2020 with no minor leagues being played, there are a lot of players about whom there's some mystery. And so the Red Sox figure, you know what? Let's take our time in 2021 to get to know some of the prospects that we may add as these players to be named. The shortstop for the Atlanta Braves, Dansby Swanson, lost his salary arbitration hearing. He will get $6 million this year. His request had been for $6.7 million. A flurry of signings. Justin Wilson, the Yankees. He'll get a one-year deal that's going to have some options built into it with a deal that will wind up averaging between $2 and $3 million a year. The Phillies are closing in on a deal for reliever Tony Watson. The Mets signed center fielder Kevin Pillar to a one-year deal. Matt Shoemaker has agreed to a one-year, $2 million deal with the Minnesota Twins. James Paxton drew bidding from the New York Mets, but in the end, he works out a one-year, $8.5 million deal with the Seattle Mariners. Justin Turner, as we thought all along, staying with the Los Angeles Dodgers on a two-year, $34 million deal. Rich Hill, Colin McHugh, Oliver Drake signed with the Tampa Bay Rays. The Giants have agreed to terms with pitcher Aaron Sanchez. Chicago Cubs bringing back Jake Arrieta, one-year and $6 million. The Cubs also adding reliever Brandon Workman. Joe Panik has agreed to a minor league deal to return to the Toronto Blue Jays. And the Miami Marlins are going to allow fans back in their ballpark this season with capacity at about 25%. No jokes there. Okay, Taylor, about the Marlins going to 25% capacity.
They write themselves, Buster. No need for us to dwell here.
All right, before we get to Hemo and Dave, two things I want to mention. First, when you gift a year of ESPN Plus, you're giving thousands of live events, exclusive or originals, the full 30 for 30 library, and more. Surprise the sports fan in your life with a year of ESPN Plus. Visit ESPNplus.com/giftayear for more details. And check out The Right Time with Bomani Jones every Tuesday and Thursday afternoon. On Tuesday's episode, Bo dishes on Russell Wilson's change of tone towards the Seattle management. J.J. Watt's is mutually agreed upon release from Houston. I don't get it. I don't know why the Texans just let him walk. And why it's completely different from Deshaun Watson's situation. Listen to The Right Time with Bomani Jones wherever you get your podcasts.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply.
Jumping into the numbers.
After evaluating millions of pieces of data in the blink of an eye, the winner is Cincinnati by 200 points. Why, you worthless hunk of junk.
This is Hembo Knows.
And Hembo is Paul Imbecchietti. He's a researcher at ESPN who now tells us he's a head honcho on the show Get Up. Mike Greenberg disagrees, says that he's just a wild partier that he likes to emulate. Hembo, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Buster. Greeny likes to emulate me so much so that he has recently made me his sidekick on the new radio show. So perhaps my partying is actually going to do some good for me for a change.
Yeah, I listened to that the other day. You guys have a lot of fun. You know,
we do.
He'll continue to make fun of you, and that's the best part of that show. There's no question about it.
No, that's the easiest thing imaginable. Like it's like Get Up is like the meat and potatoes of his day, and then he gets to do recess for the last 2 hours, and I'm playing on the jungle gym with him.
Yeah, I really enjoy listening to it. All right,
glad to hear it.
We're getting into the over-unders now. We still don't have the official ESPN over-unders that they like to endorse. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we sent you one set of over-unders. What jump out at you in terms of team win totals?
And most,
you know, whether
most
it's,
of these...
whether it's you can take the over or you can take the under. Tell me what you think.
Yeah, most of these figures from the sports books are going to be within one or two wins of each other. So there are three in particular, Buster, that stand out. Two overs, one under. The first over I will present you with is the White Sox at over 91.5. And here's why. That's a team that went 5-8 last season in one run games and have since added the best relief pitcher in baseball, in my in my judgment, in Liam Hendricks.
Yep.
The average over under for the other four teams in that division is 77.5. So I think they're going to have a somewhat easy path to it. And last season, that was a team that generated a run differential equivalent to that of a 96 win team. What say you?
I would agree with you. I think that's a good one. I also am interested, and I'm going to talk to Dave Schoenfield about this, about the Cleveland Indians over under, where I feel like that they're not getting enough credit. And I also think that maybe as those over-unders are structured, there wasn't enough thought given to how teams are going to feast on the bottom of that division. What's your next team?
That's a very fair point. I have the Pirates under 62.5. I think that team could lose 110 games. Here's why. So obviously they were just a non-factor in free agency. They traded Josh Bell and Joe Musgrove and Jameson Taillon without really recouping any present-day value in return. And all the other four teams in their division own a projection of 79.5 or higher. So nearly half of their schedule are against teams in which they don't really have a day off, though they do have a top five farm system. It's not obvious to me that's going to really manifest itself this year. And they have a $40 million payroll. They're not trying in a division in which four other teams theoretically are.
And if they get a veteran player who's performing well in midseason, they're going to flip them. They're not in a trade because they're not expecting to win this year. And what's your third one?
Third one is the Phillies over 83. And I know you're going to call me a homer, but here's my logic.
You're a homer.
It's a team that led last season in 49 of their 60 games. That was the third most in all of baseball. And they still found a way to miss the playoffs because of that bullpen. The lineup, which mostly is going to be back, ranked ninth last season in batting line. And the starting pitching collectively ranked third in wins above replacement. So for my money, that's a playoff team. Even if the bullpen approaches being average, and even if they fall short, I think there's a good chance they could sniff 85 wins. What do you think?
No, I don't think so. I think the division is too competitive. I think the top of the division is too good. I think the Braves are going to be really good. I think the Mets are going to be really good. You know, the Nationals with that starting rotation. I think the Phillies are going to be right where they've been, which is, you know, around 80, 81 wins over the course of the regular season.
There's a good argument to be made that the Phillies could be better and still not show it in the standings, I suppose. But I still look at that lineup and that starting rotation as potentially top 10. If you blend that, like I said, with even an average bullpen, I'd like to think that that club can exceed 83 wins.
So last summer, when the Players Association negotiated the terms of a 60-game season with Major League Baseball, there were a lot of folks in the player side who were very proud of the fact that they hung together, that they got 100% salary for those 60 games. But I got to tell you, as that process was playing out, what I was hearing was a lot off the record was from agents who were losing their minds because their question was, yeah, that's great. We get 100% salary now, but what about protection for the upcoming free agent class?
Right.
And Hembo, you dug out some numbers. I wrote about it in my Sunday piece this past weekend. The free agent class has absolutely gotten destroyed. Give me an example.
It sure has.
Something that jumped out of you.
Yeah, so as we begin spring training, free agent spending this offseason sits at about $1.2 billion, which is about half of last year's output. The average free agent contract length this offseason is less than a season and a half, and the average dollar figure is about $11.5 million. All of those figures are trending towards the stingiest offseason since 2009. But perhaps most astonishingly, Buster, there have only been 25 multi-year contracts handed out. There were 51 of those given just five off-seasons ago. And the last time there were fewer given was the off-season preceding the 1995 season amidst the work stoppage. I mean, the pandemic combined with where we are CBA-wise, if you will, has essentially broken free agency as we know it.
Yeah, that multi-year deal statistic was unbelievable. I got a lot of comments from in the industry about that when I posted that. So I thank you for that. One thing, and I thought of this and wrote it in the piece over the weekend, you know, in past years, we've seen a David Price, a Max Scherzer, a Steven Strasburg sign these big whopper deals. And what executives will tell you is, look, the first third of the deal, you hope the player continues to be an elite performer. You hope in the middle of the deal, they continue to be a really good performer. And at the back end, you assume there's a chance where you're going to see some serious regression. Well, Trevor Bauer want, and in those type of deals, because teams think that way, there clearly is a lot of risk for teams. The way Trevor Bauer deals is structured with the Dodgers, 3 years and $102 million, all of the risk is with the player and not the team. That is a dramatic difference from the biggest deals of elite free agents in the past.
Yeah, that's right. I've been somewhat flummoxed by the people who are arguing that this Trevor Bauer thing is some sort of revolutionary signing for players and that it's going to somehow revolutionize the way that we do contracts. I don't see it that way at all. I mean, Trevor Bauer's contract is such that if he never threw a pitch for the Dodgers, it wouldn't kill them. And the ultimate thing that I come back to is sort of the way that people argue football contract. The way that I judge whether or not the contract is good or not is, did the player accrue as many guaranteed dollars as possible? If you can sign a piece of paper that guarantees that none of his descendants ever have to work a day in their lives, the player won. Now, sure, this is generational money, but I'm with you. Ultimately, the Dodgers win here because the risk is 100% associated with the player, and not just a player, a pitcher, a somewhat volatile pitcher. So sure, he'll take home $85 million for the next two seasons, but you cannot argue, at least not in my opinion, you can't argue that the player won here big and that somehow the Dodgers are going to be sitting there left out in the cold. To me, this is a huge win for the organization. There's never been a deal quite like this, obviously. And when you compare it to Gerrit Cole, which is the player he compares himself to, obviously it pales in comparison.
Yeah, if you were to compare the NFL thing you're talking about, Gerrit Cole is guaranteed $324 million. Trevor Bauer is guaranteed under the terms of his deal less than one-third of what Cole got. So think about that. All right, Hembo, thanks for doing this.
Later, boys.
Get out of here, Hembo. Sick of Hembo. Right.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11 ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Welcome to the show!
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show!
Welcome to the show, mate.
Welcome to the show. Whoa!
Welcome to the show, baby.
You're in the show with David Schoenfield.
And Dave Schoenfield covers baseball for ESPN, which right now means doing a Zoom call from home, Dave. Happy spring training to you.
I love it. Yeah. What'd you say? Pitchers and catchers with masks, you know, 85% of the country covered in snow and ice, the media stuck in our basements, blogging. So, yeah, just like every other spring training.
I would say this. I have in the last week. Because you're reading more and more about ramping up the number of vaccinations per day. I'm starting to see like light at the end of the tunnel. I'm starting to think, you know what? Maybe we're going to be looking at a second half of the season where a lot of the ballparks are going to have a lot of people in them.
Yeah, I hope so. Certainly April and May, you know, we're not going to see a lot of fans, but we're seeing, you know, across the country, the rate of COVID infections is going way down thanks to, you know, in all likelihood, the rate of vaccination. So, yeah, hopefully by the All-Star break, maybe, I don't want to say completely back to normal, but maybe, you know, 75% of normal.
Yeah, and then it'll be interesting to see at that point what teams are going to do leading up to the trade deadline, because we saw a lot of inaction for the first couple of months in this offseason, and then in recent weeks, an absolute flurry of signings.
Yep.
As you and I are talking, it feels like every other second, somebody's signing a minor league deal somewhere. All of the prime free agents are off the board except for Jake Odorizzi. We're waiting for him to land somewhere. But based on what we've seen to this point, give me a team that you feel like has done really well.
Well, no doubt the Padres. You know, that goes without saying with, you know, Blake Snell, Yu Darvish, Joe Musgrove, Kim, they signed from Korea. I think that's going to be a good signing. But I really like what the Mets have done. And I know Mets fans are disappointed that they only got one out of the Lindor, Springer, Bauer, Real Muto, you know, group. But they've added so much depth. And that was the first thing I remember Sandy Alderson saying in the offseason. We have to improve our depth, not just at the major league level, but at the minor league AAA level. And they've done that. Look at their list of non-roster invites as well. I did a little study. You know, the last 3 years, on the top 10 players on their roster, the Mets have just about as much WAR as the Braves. They're a little behind last year, even with them in 2018, 2019. It's the middle of the roster and the back of the roster for the Mets that has been terrible. And I know some of these signings, you know, Kevin Pillar and James McCann, they're not big all-star kind of players, but they're going to really help the Mets.
Yeah, I talked with an executive with another team who said that if the Mets had gotten Trevor Bauer, that in this official's mind, they would have been the clear favorites to win the National League East, which was an interesting, you know, thought to me. I don't know if I necessarily agree. I still think that for some reason the Atlanta Braves are pretty underrated. But yeah, the Mets, as you say, so much depth. And going into this offseason when you knew there were going to be so few teams out there spending money, you knew that there would be one or two teams that would absolutely fill up when it came to depth because, as the comparison I've been making, the soft real estate market, someone was going to come up and clean up and get a lot of volume, and the Mets are one of those teams.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, again, baseball, it's not 1 through 25 or 1 through 26 on your roster. It's one through 45 or 50. You know, the way teams churn through players these days, you have to have that depth. And, you know, we've seen that with what the Dodgers and the Rays have done in recent years. And that's what the Mets and, you know, the Padres are doing as well now.
You know, a team for me that I would say has done really well, and it's not because they've gone out and gotten the volume of players in the way that the Mets have, but the Cardinals getting Nolan Arenado, fact that the rest of the division is basically in a complete standstill mode. Yep. To me, like if the Cardinals don't win the National League Central, I think there should be an investigation.
Yeah, I think they're the favorite, and I love the Arenado pickup, and I think he's going to hit just fine. I know everybody will bring up, oh, leaving Coors Field, but we've seen what has happened with other Rockies players. You leave Coors, yeah, you lose that home field advantage, but you pick it up on the road because you're back to a normal environment. So, in fact, I did a little study over the, not including last year when he was hurt, but over the previous 5 years, you extrapolate his road production over 600 plate appearances. He averaged 36 home runs a year on the road, you know, over a full season. So I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to hit 35 to 40 home runs in St. Louis and win another Gold Glove.
Yeah, and hitters have described to me through the years, yeah, okay, when you're hitting in Coors Field and you have the thin air and you get the ball in the air, then you really benefit. But on the other hand, you don't get the reps against breaking balls. You don't see the ground level or the sea level breaking balls that you're going to see in a lot of other ballparks. Well, once you move on to another team, you're going to see a lot more. And guys have left the Rockies and hit, like, I think DJ LeMahieu has been a pretty good hitter for the Yankees so far, since he's left the Rockies. Give me a team that you feel like has done really poorly.
Give me a second here. Taylor, pause this podcast as I think about the team.
Let me give you one, okay?
Okay, you go first.
I will look one. The Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, it's like, let's go.
Yeah. I mean, how many years into this rebuild?
It's kind of crazy. And, you know, we're going to be doing over and unders here. I'm going to be guessing I'm going to be taking the under on the Orioles without really having taken a serious look at the number because they just, and I understand that they're building talent in the minor leagues, but I don't know where we got to a point in this sport where you could basically check out for 5, 6, 7 years and not be relevant and have it be okay.
Yeah, it's sad. And I'll mention the Angels who they've done some little things and they've added some of that depth, but I think the AL West being a little more wide open this year, they needed that big guy. They need more than any other team. They would have benefited from Trevor Bauer or even a JT Realmuto behind the plate. I would have loved to see them add a star. They're a big market team. you know, they didn't do that.
All right, let's look at some over-unders that have started to drip out. We don't have the official over-under that ESPN locks into. But, Taylor, which one, the one you sent me? I thought those were some interesting numbers. Where did those come from?
Those came from the Action Network.
Okay. So the Action Network over-unders. Dave, just give me a couple that you like, that you look at them, and you like them whether you really like the over or you really like the under for a particular team.
Okay. I mean, the first two that jump out at me are the Dodgers at 100.5, and I get it. 100 is a huge over-under. Predicting an over is ridiculous, but the Dodgers are ridiculous. This is the deepest team I can never remember since I started following baseball. So I think they're going to top 100 wins. And along the same line, the Padres, to me, at 94.5, I'm taking the over on them as well. And I know it's the same division, but hey, remember when the Mariners won 116 in 2001, the A's in the same division won over 100. So you can have two 100-win teams in the same division.
And I predicted it. I'm looking at the Orioles over under 64. And think about that number, okay? We know that if they actually have some players who are performing decently for them this year, guys who are on one-year deals, they're going to trade them in midseason. They inhabit a division where you have the Tampa Bay Rays, who were the best team in the American League last year. They're in the same division as the New York Yankees. They're in the same division as the Toronto Blue Jays. They're clearly getting better. I fully expect the Red Sox are going to perform better. So the idea that the Orioles will win 64, that to me is an easy under. Maybe by 10.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, like if Trey Mancini comes back and hits like he did 2 years ago,
right?
He'll be traded. Of course he will.
Yeah, exactly. And there was another one in there, too, that was interesting to me, the Indians at 81.5. To me, I would take the over. Now, I don't think the Indians are going to win the American League Central, but, you know, last year they were a good team again. They've had good teams basically since Terry Francona took over as manager, and they have really good starting pitching.
Yeah, I'm with you, too. I think people are down on them. You got Shane Bieber, who, you know, has to be right up there with Garrett Cole as the Cy Young favorite after winning last year. Zach Plesac, check his numbers last year. And I know it was only 8 starts or whatever. They were phenomenal, you know, and all the StatCast metrics on him are very good as well. He, you know, Tristan McKenzie, I know he weighs like 130 pounds, but his stuff is electric, you know, and they develop pitchers. So, and Francona always gets the most out of that team. So I'm with you over. I'm with you. I don't know if they'll win the division, but I think they're an upper 80s, you know, kind of win team.
And again, go back and look at what they, you know, how they performed last year, and then consider that Francisco Lindor didn't play very well. They won in spite of him last year. And I think it was a great trade for the Mets to get him, but it wasn't like he blew the doors off and the Indians were still a really good team. Clayton Kershaw did an interesting interview the other day with the Los Angeles Times, and he really focused on non-competitive behavior, which is a phrase you're going to hear a lot of leading up to the 2021 collective bargaining agreement talks. This is going to be the focus for the Players Association.
Yeah.
And Clayton was talking about the Cubs and their decision to essentially dump Yu Darvish. The quote from him was, there are a lot of smart guys in front offices. Figure something out that's easier to do than trading away a star. Just for example, a potential Cy Young Award winner in Darvish, who has been one of the top 5 pitchers in baseball for a year and a half, for prospects that could potentially be good when, but they're 17, 18 years old. For the Chicago Cubs to do that, it's not good. It's just not good. I think you're going to be hearing a lot from players this year about tanking, about efficiency, you know, them feeling like service time manipulation. And the fact that Kershaw went public on that, I think it's just a precursor of what we're going to see.
No, I'm glad he did. And look, this is an ongoing problem for years now. Look, it's one thing if you're the Rays or the A's, these small market teams with small revenue streams. We understand why they have to keep their payrolls where they're at. But, you know, a team like Baltimore, not a big market, but they've had big payrolls in the past. Detroit, rebuilding, big market. They had huge payrolls when they were winning, you know, 6, 7 years ago. They're not spending any money, You know, so when those – with the Phillies, when they were rebuilding, not spending. So when you have big market teams tanking for 3, 4, 5 years – rebuilding – that money's not going to the players, and that's the problem. The Dodgers, you know, they can't sign everybody, you know, so, you know, yeah, as you've written, that middle class of players is being priced out because the tanking teams aren't signing them. They'll just play the rookie and pay him the minimum.
Well, I mean, the most astounding stat from last week, Trevor Bauer in 2021 is slated to earn more in salary than the entire payrolls of three different teams in baseball, including the Orioles, who we just talked about.
I mean, and just look at the, you know, we've picked on Baltimore, so I'll pick on Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look at that roster. I mean, if you're a Pirates fan, you know, you've traded away Josh Bell and Joe Musgrove. Not that these are superstars, but they were your best players. What is your interest going to be in that team, and how many years does it take to win those fans back? I think that's the long-term effect that front offices aren't properly considering.
All right. The only upside, I guess, for us not going to spring training is we don't spend the money on sunscreen. You and I can stay perfectly pale in our current form, I think, for at least a few more weeks. Dave, thanks for doing this.
You bet, Buster.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for Wednesday. First up, our pal Aaron at Aaron San Diego writes in with the news of the Hall of Fame votes. I wonder about each new contract signed. Could this be a future Hall of Famer? Your thoughts on what Justin Turner would need to do to or need to accomplish to be voted in. And one quick note here, as I was going through some stats before the program, he's like first on all of the Dodgers postseason list, like all the major stats. I had no idea, obviously, baseball novice over here, but that seems like it is notable. What do you think?
No chance. And look, he's been a terrific player the last 5 years, but for his career, he has 1,029 hits. Mm. He has 29.5 WAR, which means he's in the category or in the neighborhood of folks like Phil Garner, Javi Lopez. As they say, he's been a terrific player the last 5 years, but I think unless he played well into his early 40s, putting up huge years, he wouldn't compile the sort of numbers you see for Hall of Famers.
Got it. Next up, we've got Frank at Cinegrades 2. He says, hi, Buster. Aaron San Diego and I have discussed this a lot. Is Mike Trout, as his numbers stand right now, deserving to be the starting center fielder on a greatest all-time roster?
Boy, and that is a loaded question because, of course, that would mean if Mike Trout is a starting center fielder, that means you pick him ahead of Willie Mays, who I've said on the podcast before, I think he's that Willie Mays the greatest player. Now, you could kind of weasel out of the question and say, well, I would make Trout or Mays the left fielder or the right fielder. If we're going to talk purely about center fielder, I think as of today, I would still have Willie Mays. I still think probably, you know, Trout, although I think he's going to finish his career known as the greatest player ever, he still needs to put in the numbers to compile the sort of statistics where he can be in the neighborhood of guys like Mays, Aaron, Babe Ruth.
Fair enough. Let's leave the Cinegrades, Aaron San Diego Extended Universe, and talk to James Shanahan at Shanny STL. He writes in, hey, Buster, statistically, does having gold glove corner infielders matter less in this launch angle homer era of Major League Baseball? Are third basemen like Arenado getting significantly fewer chances at third, for example?
Well, there's no question. I mean, the ball's not being put in play as much. And we talk about the three true outcomes, how you see a lot more of that. I will say, I know, you know, a lot of decisions made by managers are still based in part on who the pitcher is and how many ground balls they generate. And you'll see if you have a lefty who generates a lot of ground balls, you will see them put out the best defensive shortstop and third baseman. So for Arenado, I'm sure that Adam Wainwright, who doesn't blow away hitters anymore, he's going to love having him playing third base behind him.
Last one for today, Debbie Gammons Brown writes in, and here's a name that I didn't look up that I will surely butcher, so Buster, this will be the first one of the season. So the Red Sox clearly see Benintendi
As Benintendi, Andrew Benintendi, who was traded to the Royals.
Oh, God, that's bad. As in decline, and the Royals see the talent as still there. What's your assessment, Buster? And are you surprised to see that great 2018 championship outfield split up in pieces 3 years later?
Oof. Yeah, Mookie Betts playing with the Dodgers, Benintendi with the Royals, Jackie Bradley, as we do this podcast, is still unsigned. I am surprised by Benintendi's trajectory. By all accounts, going into 2019, he got really big. He lifted heavily in the offseason, lost some flexibility. He struggled with his swing more. But I can tell you this, there were folks in the Red Sox organization who were excited about what he might bring to the table this year, which is why I was a little surprised they wound up trading him.
Alrighty, that does it for Bleacher Tweets. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter. Send in some questions. Maybe we can work them in with Fauci. We don't have a ton of time with him. We also, we're working on a mystery guest here who might be, on the same level in stature. We can't tip it yet because it's not confirmed, but keep your eyes peeled. Do subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you have baseball fans in your life that don't know about the Baseball Tonight podcast, tell them Monday. We're back, baby. Let's go, Buster.
Well, Friday we're back.
Well,
we're
yeah,
back on Friday.
Yeah, I got thrown off there. For me, it's like a mental thing. Like Friday, okay, that's we're doing that. But then Monday, back in the groove, be getting the rundown ready on Sunday night. I'll be back in season officially Sunday evening.
Well, this is just live batting practice, right?
Yeah,
now.
Exactly.
That's where we get this one to sort of get into the swing of things. That's it for today. My thanks to Taylor, to Dave, to Hembo. Thanks for listening, everybody. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, don't forget to listen to the Fantasy Focus podcast. Check out all podcasts at ESPN.com/podcenter. Baseball Tonight, the podcast.